Path to Unconditional Love, Chapter 14, Victory Over Fear. We traveled for a long time. The evening gradually turned into night. Then came the morning with its usual railroad fuss. The queue to the train bathroom, the scalding tea in metal glass holders, the children scurrying back and forth, the muffled hum of conversations. Traveling in the car with reserved seats did not bother me. On the way, I was happy to become a part of this noisy, motley society. Passing through the cars, I noticed unusual people everywhere. Everyone had their own oddities that others did not pay attention to. But it was like an invisible toggle switch clicked inside me when I saw them. The first was a guy with an unusual book. He was sitting on the side berth near the front of the car, reading most of the way. The cover featured a surreal abstraction, something mysterious, appealing. Every time I passed by, I looked at the book and the guy. I tried to figure out who he was, what he was reading about. I even wanted to talk to him, but I did not dare. In the dining car, a dark-haired passenger with an interesting wooden bracelet caught my attention. There was something in his movements, in his posture, in the way he looked out of the window, with calm deliberation, but at the same time without laziness, without a touch of hauteur and typical metropolitan disdain. The man noticed that I was looking at him, and several times we glanced at each other. On the way back to my car, I noticed a plump woman with a mop of red curls and a tarot deck in her hands. She was concentrating on doing the reading and explaining something to a thin woman sitting across from her, and she was smiling radiantly. I noted a few more strange people. Each had something that set them apart from the crowd of ordinary people. An unusual appearance, or a special look, or original jewelry. And each of them became a sign for me. As we got closer to the destination, there was a growing expectation and anticipation of something huge, wonderful, important. How was I surprised when it turned out that all the people I noticed were going to the same place as me, to the seminar. The meeting with the representative of the school was set immediately, right at the station next to the bus terminal, where we were to be picked up by a charter bus and taken to our destination. And now this woman was standing at the appointed place, and I saw the participants of the seminar flocking around her. The guy with the book, the curly-haired woman with tarot cards, and the man with the bracelet from the restaurant car, and many others. The students of our school were traveling in each and every car in the train. Unbelievable! I exclaimed, barely able to contain my emotions. Can you believe I noticed all of you in the cars? Each of you! It turns out you're all going the same way I am.
I noticed you too, the guy with the book smiled. You passed by and kept looking at the cover.
My goodness! I laughed. I should have come to you.
I remember you too,
the man in the dining car said, smiling.
My name is Pavel.
I'm Roxana. Nice to meet you. It was amazing how positive and easy our mutual acquaintance was. People kept coming, and soon we were standing in a joyous motley crowd, chatting, talking about our expectations and anticipations.
Like at the city seminar, there were people of different genders, age, and social level. Simple pensioners and young successful guys, advanced Muscovites, and modest residents of the province. The students of the school came from Moscow, St. Pete, Samara, Voronezh, and many other cities, from villages, even from the outskirts of my republic. All of us, participants of the upcoming seminar, already felt invisible threads connecting us. For 10 days, we would live together, eat together, walk in the mountains, practice, share our emotions and impressions, and share our successes and failures. And so, when everyone was gathered, we boarded a small bus and went to the gathering place. Thus began my acquaintance with the mountains. We were driven along a winding, narrow serpentine, and I looked with awe at the majestic, layered rocks that went up high. There were mountains on one side, and a deep precipice covered with shrubs on the other, and we were hemmed in on a narrow road from which there was no other way out, either up or down. At one of the sharp turns, I saw the rusted remains of a bus far below. Apparently, the accident had happened a long time ago, but the fact itself steered a new wave of panic. For me, this trip was the first step to getting rid of the fear of mountains. At each new turn, my heart twitched and began to beat twice as fast. It seemed that we would fail to follow a road bend and crash. And then I would look at my fellow travelers and say to myself, "Everything will be fine. Nothing bad can happen to so many good people." And each time, the bus overcame a turn and continued to run briskly on the heat, melted asphalt. This was how we got there. We were dropped off in a green clearing just below the mountain top. I got off the bus, smoothing my ruffled features and looking around. We were here. We had not fallen down. I was finally where I should be. For a while, there was a cheerful bustle. The participants of the seminar pulled out heavy backpacks with rolled-up mats and sleeping bags from the bus. The organizers were passing between us with sheets of paper, writing down about each person who had arrived, clarifying some details, conducted a roll call. It turned out that there were about 100 of us. It took some time for the mentors and their assistants to sort out organizational issues, and we were asked to go down a little slope, to wait there and meditate on the horizon. From there, the view of the neighboring mountain was breathtaking. I felt a surge of happiness. The first time I was so high above sea level. It was a completely different world. Nature reigned here. The mountain slopes were covered with greenery and amazing soft-pink rhododendrons, the aromas of which you mixed with the fresh mountain air. A herd of horses grazed a little lower from our clearing. For the first time in my life, I saw these fascinating plants. For the first time, I shifted my gaze from one mountain to another. And it was so exciting and so beautiful that the euphoria even made my head spin a little. We were left to ourselves for 3 or 4 hours, but this time passed quickly, and I still could not get enough of it to get used to the idea of where I was. Most of my companions were in a similar state. They were meditating, talking to each other, just sitting back and enjoying the beauty. Then we were divided into two groups, and rather unevenly. In the first, there were about 20 people, and about 80 in the second. At the time, I did not understand how the mentors assigned us. This realization came much later. Apparently, they had divided us according to our physical abilities. In a large group were people who, due to age or health condition, could not walk for a long time on mountain trails and climb up the gorges. A special, easy program had been developed for them. I found myself in an active, small group, which I was unspeakably happy about. We made our way along complex and stunningly interesting routes, looked at amazing mountain waterfalls, went to places where ordinary tourists never set foot. It was a drive, wild nature, powerful energy, an unforgettable experience. As it turned out, the second group was deprived of all this. They mostly walked out on the lawns, sunbathed, and did relaxation and meditation. This division was justified. The teacher was overprotective. He wanted to protect people from accidents, falls, fractures, and so on. And yet, I was truly sorry for those people, because they did not get those exciting impressions that have remained with us forever. Of course, I did not start climbing mountains right away. The fear of mountains was firmly lodged in my head, and it took several steps to work out and overcome it. The first step was taking on the bus, when I overcame myself and forced myself not to give in to panic. The second encounter with fear occurred soon after. The graceful girl with long black hair, who looked like an Indian woman, Chandra, approached our group. It was she who came to our city seminar, where she gave lectures and conducted practices. Now, I was very happy to meet her again. "Please follow me," she said, and we did. We moved from an opening clearing to a forest meadow surrounded by trees and unusual shrubs. "Let's all go and say hello to the spirits of this place," said Chandra, and, with a mysterious smile, led us on through the thick, tall grass. "We are going to live here, so we must first ask permission from the owners." Along with everyone else, I followed the mentor and was glad that everything was not so terrible yet, that the mountains did not look like what I had imagined. No harsh stone cliffs, no sharp peaks, and there was no height from which to fall. So far, there were smooth ascents and descents everywhere. That was what I thought. and I froze in front of an almost vertical slope. The meadow ended abruptly, and the hard, yellow-layered rock lay below. My heart skipped a beat and collapsed somewhere in my heels. I jerked back instinctively and felt my knees shake. "Now we have to go down," Chandra announced, casually nodding down. "There, just below us, is the entrance to the cave that will be our home for the next 10 days. All our people began to talk animatedly, express their surprise, once again admire nature, discuss how to better organize a safe descent. There was a friendly, warm atmosphere in the group. Everyone supported each other, made good jokes, and tried to help. And so, the guys began to hustle with enthusiasm and build a ladder from improvised means. This came out very easily and quickly. Within half an hour, the ladder was ready, and all the members of our group were at the bottom, except for me and Pavel, who was holding the ladder from above.
"Come on, don't be afraid,"
the man encouraged me, seeing my hesitation.
"It's not that high."
I was wildly uncomfortable and even ashamed of my fear, but everything inside me tightened, so I could not physically take a step. It was as if the muscles and tendons had suddenly turned to heavy molten lead. I looked down with a shudder and felt my fear turn to panic. I wanted to run, no matter where, as long as I was away from that cliff. I looked up at Pavel. He so sincerely wanted to help me and did not even think to mock me.
"I can't,"
I said, barely audible. "You can." He smiled and held out his hand to me. "Hold yourself up and place your feet carefully. If you're afraid, don't look down. Imagine you're going down an ordinary ladder." I grabbed his hand and literally forced myself to put my foot on the first step. It was hard not to think that there was a cliff down there, but I tried to let go of my thoughts and remember something pleasant. So, cautiously tracing the next step with my foot and moving my fingers along the ladder, I descended to the cave. At the bottom, some strong hands held me steady. When I felt solid ground under my feet, I finally allowed myself to exhale. I did it! This was my personal test, which I had passed largely thanks to the support of others. I felt so light at heart, as if I had been relieved of a burden that had weighed me down for years. How great it was to be in such a positive atmosphere, to feel that I could rely on those around me, and that they were always ready to give me a helping hand. I looked around. The entrance to the cave was indeed right above the place at the top where we had been standing. But it was simply impossible to see it from there. In front of the cave was a small area of stony ground just a few meters across. A narrow, winding path ran downhill from it, with a steep drop to the right. And below, through the boxwood shrubs and trees that grew on the slopes, the silvery ribbon of a mountain stream could be seen. I couldn't help but admire the view. It was majestic and enchantingly beautiful. It was awe inspiration, admiration, and fear were woven together. At that moment, I thought about what would happen if there were no men around, and I had to go down the same ladder, or up. Even then I realized that the fear had not completely disappeared. It was still somewhere inside, although it had shrunk considerably in size when I dared to look right in its eyes. Then I realized that this would be my next step, getting up and down without help. Would I pass this test? If someone had told me that very soon I would be laughing at my fears, I wouldn't have believed it. But everything worked out on its own. By the end of the next day, I was going up and down to the cave on my own, using the ladder. I was calmly running down to the mountain river several times a day to brush my teeth, wash my face, and hygiene myself. The very atmosphere, the very place of power, helped me, and I gratefully accepted this help. Here, in the mountains, I was happy. Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website, www.amazon1.org. Share this book and spread the great knowledge. Then people's lives will change for the better, and you will accumulate good karma and be able to help all your loved ones.